Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to this episode of The James Gilmore Show. My name's James and I'm so excited about this week's episode because I'm joined by an artist who I've been a fan of for such a long time and is in such an exciting stage of her career. That stage really where feels like any minute now it's all about to go boom for her, which is just so exciting because as a fan of her music, you just feel like this is such an intimate time to get to know her, but such an exciting time all at the same time. That's a lot of uses of the word time. I think I first discovered Bear, I'd say during COVID, during that time when we were all stuck at home, feeling a little bit lonely, trying to stay busy and finding just incredible music that could touch us in different ways and make us feel something and hopefully help us emotionally progress a little bit. I so enjoy chatting to her. It was on a evening and I don't know, it just is that kind of toasty, it's about to be spring but it's still not yet kind of vibe, and she's just the best energy ever. I think when you combine her personality with her music, Bear is exactly the artist that you want her to be and that I think we all need more of in our lives. So anyway, enjoy. Here's my interview with Bear.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Bear, how are you?
Hello, I'm very good, thanks. It's a nice sunny day here, actually, which is like, there's few and far between. I mean, we never get those, so.
are you back in Minnesota?
Yep, I'm in St. Paul right now. We just got hit with like a freak blizzard.
But I love that.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. I hate that in the UK, they tease us. They go, it's gonna get snow, and then you never do.
Oh my gosh. And when it does snow in the UK, it just shuts down everything.
Yeah, like, but it can be like centimeter of snow in one place, miles away.
Like, my first year of uni in the UK, I remember it snowed like a centimeter and we had a week off classes because it flooded like the sixth floor of the college.
My favorite thing though, last year, I think it was like November, we had snow that just wouldn't melt. And so we had like 2 days of really heavy snow. And then it was just like, I honestly felt like I was living in Greenland. Like it was just for a week, snow everywhere. And for me, if you're going to have bad weather, it might as well snow because then at least I feel like you get payoff from snow.
Yeah, the payoff is real. Yeah. When it's just cold and like dark and like normal, that's honestly way worse for me than like having feet of snow because at least then you like can visualize it, I think.
Exactly. It feels like you're in winter. On Monday, though, so on the week, it's because I'm very much a winter person. So over the weekend, I went out, I bought myself like moon boots, so like proper snow boots and and some sunglasses, which everybody since have told me don't suit me. So they're going back. Aww. I was just like, I'm very much a winter person. And on Monday, I got big coat on, winter boots, lovely spring day. And I was like sweating. By the time I got home, my feet were drenched.
I really can relate to this though. I feel like the days we dress for like that and we expect it and we like plan for it are the days that the universe is just like, no.
Yeah, exactly. One day I'll get my little outfit moment. But anyway, I've been a fan of your music for a long time. I'm really excited to dig into some of these songs with you. Before we get into, there's so many songs we're probably going to go through too much. But okay. Before we get to the first song, I kind of wanted to take an overview look of where you are right now in your career, because I feel like you're at this point in your career where it must feel like everything is happening so quickly. You're in this moment that feels like the moment just before a real explosion, which must be just the most exciting thing for an artist. And especially for you, when the setup of your career, you're in the driver's seat much more than other artists are. How does it feel to be in the driver's seat whilst the world is really waking up to Bear?
Oh my gosh. First of all, it's so nice of you to say that. Like, holy cow.
I had my fingers crossed anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, no, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. Good. I do feel just really, really excited right now about everything. The fun thing about the way things are panning out at the minute is that every single time I do something, it's like something new. You know, I just did my first headline tour, and every day I was like learning something new about what that looks like. And every time I put out a song, a completely different sort of exposure happens, or like I get a completely different response, and everything feels very like there's a first time for everything. But I'm doing a lot of first times right now, so it's really, really exciting and fun and like overwhelming at times as well. It's just been totally a roller coaster of like learning things and processing things. But it is fun to definitely have like, yeah, I guess I've never thought of it like me being in the driver's seat, but I have like an amazing team that is also helping me with this. But it's really fun because all of the ideas are coming from me, and all of the visual side of things are coming from me, and I'm making my own lyric videos, and I really have like all my hands on every single like moving part. And I just feel like I'm learning so much about what it means to like be an artist and like be doing this as a career while I'm doing it. So yeah, it's been really crazy. And like my days are just chock full every day. There's so much to do.
One of the things that, you know, I've never made a song in my life. That's a lie, when I was 3 years old, but that's never seeing the world. It rhymes, which is more than
there you
some
go.
Things.
Honestly.
One of the things, just like even for me, but I know lots of my friends who are artists as well, as your career grows and develops, you realize that, like, I don't know, 4 years ago when you thought you were, oh my God, this thing's just about to happen. And you don't realize until you're there how far away you were from that moment, and actually how many things had to happen to achieve the things that you're now achieving. Are you feeling like you're having those learning moments when you're like, oh my God, you know, I thought, I don't know, 4 years ago, all of this stuff was just going to happen overnight, and now I realize how far away I was?
Yeah, definitely. Equally, like, I think one thing I've always worked really hard at trying to set my expectations at is that there like are no expectations. I always knew that things wouldn't happen overnight, but I have had moments where things feel very like fast, like sped up all of a sudden. When Meant to Be sort of had its viral moment, that very much felt like an overnight thing, because that literally was an overnight thing. But there was still so much around that that was like unprepared and kind of exhausting, and like that happened really fast too, but there was a lot of work involved with all of that. So it's definitely, I don't know, I kind of just try and take everything very day by day at this point. But I think I've been really lucky in like the trajectory of the way things have been going. And I don't know, I think setting my expectations like at zero has been really healthy for me, because the alternative is just like, you know, disappointment and like spending a lot of time focusing on something and not doing it because I just love it. So I'm really working on just trying to like do these things because I'm super passionate about it. So yeah, I think, I don't even know if I answered your question.
No, you did. No, also, this is just a discussion. There's no questions. Yeah. But on which note, if I was going to ask a question, I'd ask, you mentioned Meant to Be, which is a beautiful song. And I think also the most perfect entry point into your catalog. Because represents so many themes that then come up even throughout the Halfway EP, which we'll dive into. But what is the story behind Meant to Be as a song?
Meant to Be as a song was one of those like freak accident songs, I think. It kind of came out of thin air. I did write that with Charlie Rain in Isle of Wight. The first day we like met in person, he and I were like really great Zoom friends for all of the sort of lockdowns of, and like during the pandemic, we really like sort of built a relationship up on Zooming each other every week. And I mean, several times a week just to write songs and to like practice and keep the tap flowing. And I mean, we probably have like 60 demos that are just like untapped on my laptop. We just got really close and he knew me so well at that point, cause we'd just been like oversharing for a really long time. So when we met, it was just really fun to like, and really weird. I remember to like put a face to the like rest of him and like his environment. And I was like in just randomly then on the Isle of Wight, which turns out is a real place. And all sorts of funny things were sort of happening around that time. But we sat in his backyard and he kind of was like, hey, I've had this title just like sat around. I think I was kind of saving it for you. What do you think of like Meant to Be? Like, but not made to last. And the second he said that, I was just like, I know exactly what you mean, period. I know it. Let's do this. And he was like, I thought maybe you would, because at that time I had been like about a year and a half outside of a really pertinent relationship for me that I had ended, that I just also really like had never written about, because I could only think of really like beautiful things like surrounding it, but it was still something I needed to sort of grieve and mourn, but also celebrate at the same time. So he just knew that about me. We had talked about it so many times. So I think we sat down and just drank tea in his backyard and like he played the guitar and we just wrote the song super fast. I know that like second verse just like spilled out of me in like one run. And like, we just were like, yep, that's it. And when I sent it to my manager after we'd made a demo of it, I was kind of like, we wrote this today. I don't know. I think it could be good, but I also don't really think anybody's going to get it. It might be kind of broad and kind of cheesy and I don't know. And immediately my management was like, he texted me back. It was just like, okay, stop for one, post this on TikTok. And so we just posted a little snippet of it and it blew up overnight. And it was Charlie's first TikTok ever.
Wow.
So that was really funny. And just immediately we knew we had to do something with it. And I mean, I learned so much from that song, because that was kind of the first time I was able to like really fully connect with an audience in a way like that. Like I'd put out a few songs and I was already in the release cycle of my first EP when we wrote Meant to Be and when like that moment happened. So I was really shocked that all of a sudden, for something that I hadn't put out, people were messaging me about it and saying, hey, thank you for writing this song. Like you've explained something that I've been trying to explain to myself for a long time. And like people would just open up and like share their story with me. And I mean, I had thousands of DMs of people being like, hey, I really relate to this. And I've never heard someone say that before. And I just, both Charlie and I kept like looking at each other and being like, what? No yeah. way. Like, I can't believe this is happening. And it made all of my issues, I guess, or like all of my insecurities and my like emotions about specifically Meant to Be, like the scenario around that, like go away immediately. Cause I felt very understood for the first time, probably within music. And I just remember thinking like, dang, I like thought I felt so misunderstood for so long within that. And I just needed to open my eyes and like talk to people about it. And it was really special, but it was, I think like for so many people, that was the entry point into my music. So it's really fun when I get people then like saying, hey, we found you from Meant to Be, but like I also really, really hear a lot of myself in like Super Spreader and like your whole EP, all of these songs just feel like they're parallel with me. And it's so fun to like meet people that are experiencing sort of the same things just because you're being loud about it on the internet. I don't know. It's really cool.
The two lyrics I wrote down, obviously we were meant to be, just not made to last. Also, I think you're the one for someone else. And to me, it evoked that kind of feeling when you realize that a relationship is doomed and you kind of like, I think need to rip the plaster off and just.
Definitely.
So how good are you at plaster ripping? Because.
So bad.
I think. Even the note, like, we call it plaster ripping because it's a horrible thing to do. I've always been the person that like slowly rolls it off my arm and just minimum pain. Why would you invite pain into your life?
Would you invite pain into your life?
Well, that's actually your job, not my job as a songwriter.
I have a career off of it, so
yeah.
No, for sure. Oh my God. I'm so bad at it, actually. Yeah, I think really, especially when it comes to like processing things and like how you go about just like prioritizing yourself often as well, there are just like a lot of band-aids that need to, or plasters, as you say, that need to sort of just come off. And it's really important to do that and be honest with yourself, but it's a really hard thing to do. I think like the worst part of it is just the tension leading up to it. I think every time, like, you know, the second after you've ripped one off, if we're taking this literally, like you just feel relief. But it's the overthinking that leads up to it, I think, that is like scary. And it is. Yeah. And it's like intimidating for sure.
Yeah, I think that like as humans, we are by our nature like hunter gatherers. So it's much easier for us to welcome stuff into our lives and gather stuff. And then, like, I know, because not in a relationship sense, but just in a life sense, at the end of last year, I was like, need to let some stuff go. Which is, it is difficult, but like it's so important for the other thing that maybe didn't exist when we were cave people, which is just like our mental health and like ability to be happy.
Totally. I don't think I'm like a hoarder, but I'm really good at like holding on to things for way too long. And I even remember it being really like the last time I really had to let go of a lot of stuff was when I was moving from the UK back to Minnesota. Not only was I leaving like all my friends and the family I'd built there and that life, but like I had a lot of physical like items of clothing that I remember being like, well, I wore this like all 3 years of my college thing, but I literally can't fit it in my suitcase. Now I have to, you know, sell it on Depop. But it just, I remember like, I think we're all so good at holding on to memories and holding on to things that like sit within physical objects for so long. So definitely, no, I'm also very, very good at keeping things for too long.
You mentioned the UK, obviously, and you released a live video for Meant to Be as well, which was your first headline show at the Courtyard in London last summer. And it feels like the UK and London have been really important parts of your musical journey, even though you obviously are American, you grew up in Minnesota. Why do you think the music in particular has connected so well with Brits?
I have no idea. I really
because,
don't.
You know, because we're not very emotional people. We're not good at touching that part of us.
My stoic people. I mean, I'm upset. Like, let's be real. But I'm not sure. I don't know if I can like speak to that. I just am really happy that it has. My team is very British, and I spent so much time there, and I know I really like. I credit England to like making me a human. I think there was so much of the world that I needed to like see when I graduated from like my little high school in Minnesota, and I really needed to get out. So my perspective as like a writer and as just like a, I suppose, an artist definitely comes from one, or like so much of it was built there. And
what
the people that have, what a bummer. But all of the, all the people that have their hands on my music too, like outside of me, also definitely, I mean, have if not the same, but like much more so of an experience like of living in London or like England and spending so much time there. And I wonder, I mean, maybe that has something to do with it, but I really became I started writing seriously when I was in college. I think, I mean, the people that I like learned how to write with were all very British to their core in the best way. And it's something that I fell in love with, to be completely honest. Like I credit it so much, but I miss it every day. I'm constantly sort of toying with the idea of trying to get back there full time. I really do love it. I love the gray. I love the weather. I think all of my songs feel like they were written on like a rainy day, which they kind of were, even like the ones I've done here. I mean, I'm lucky that the dark climate of Minnesota isn't like so far off that of London. So I don't know.
I wanted to stay on that headline show moment in particular, because that moment where you're in a packed out room full of people who are there for you. And I think like it's obviously a very special moment for any artist to sing songs to people who are actually there to hear the songs, rather than they're there to see somebody else and you're a support act. But especially because your songs are so personal and intimate. What was that moment like?
It was crazy. I think as well, that was one of the first shows I was performing for a room of like my friends. And I remember thinking, it's so different to be singing these songs in front of people who like know every inch of your like story and were there for all the things you're writing about, you know, like I remember that being a kind of intimidating, to be honest, but it's very special. And that was definitely a really surreal show for me because that was really the first time that someone wasn't there for a Tom Adele or a festival that I was at, or I just remember thinking it was so weird as well to have someone else open for me and someone that I was like so obsessed with as well. I think Leith opened for me on the show and I love her. I love her music. I mean, that's stuff that I listen to and is just like constantly on repeat for me. So it was really fun to not only meet her and spend time with her, but like be able to show an audience that was there for me too, something that I absolutely adore. And it's never not weird playing like a headline slot. I haven't gotten to that point where that feels completely comfortable yet, but I think it's getting there for sure. But that that was crazy.
And the video is amazing as well. Like not just a normal like live video. There's a real like atmosphere, I think, within the video itself and the way that it's shot.
Yeah, we shot it on a dad cam. So I think the fun thing is that it really feels like as if like one of your parents was just like at your talent show, like filming it. That's sort of the vibe. But it really ended up working for it. We watched it back the first time we saw it. We're like, you know what? This is actually really special. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's jump into the Halfway EP, which is really, I think, like a project about being in the repairing stage after a breakup. And there's a line that pops up at the start of the Halfway video: healing isn't linear, which I think to me really sums up the journey and the thread that pulls this project together. I've listened to this music, but never with like an analytical brain. So when I was preparing for this interview, I had to try to think kind of like I was in like GCSE English again.
Yeah.
Like, what do the blue curtains represent was what I had to ask myself. But it really is, it's like from rebounds to heartbreak to anger, back to heartbreak a little bit. So talk to us about how this project came together.
You really have summed it up so well, actually. That's really cool. I don't, the healing isn't linear line. Like that was just something I kind of had to tag in. I remember thinking like, that's what this whole EP is about. And Halfway is sort of the title track of it. And it's something I realized when I was writing it. Like when we were writing Halfway specifically, I was in a hotel room in New York City with no windows. And then I was on Zoom with two people. And we were just writing over this loop. And I remember like saying out loud to these people that I felt like I was like about halfway through my heartbreak, but that's ridiculous because there's no end, you know, there's no like end goal other than just like being okay, I suppose. But I remember just like feeling really okay at that point, but also there was still so much to do. Like I'd finally just accepted it, but now there was like the actual work to be done. And we just kept throwing around, if healing was a timeline, haha. And it just was so apparent that it's not, and it's not linear. And so the whole EP was written around that whole concept. And it is, we wanted to write songs that could be there for people who didn't need like the, oh, you hurt me, like, I hate you songs, or, oh, I so love you, like, I miss you, I want you back. Like, cause I think there's two like A to Z sides of like a breakup or a heartbreak or love in general that is represented in songs a lot of the time. But there's so many more emotions like within the whole process of like within the whole process of heartbreak or love in general. So we wanted to really write those mostly for ourselves to like validate our own emotions. At least that's how I felt writing this. So these are all songs for me specifically. And all of the anecdotes that are in all these songs are very specific to where I was in life. Like Boys Who Kiss You in Their Car is very much about those like hinge rebound moments that happened here in Minnesota, about like that DIY Minnesota type boy that I like couldn't escape. And it was really funny. And then like Slut Phase is certainly that song's a meme. When I like first like got broken up with, my best friend called me and was like, thank God, because now you've never had like a slut phase, so now you can. And I just remember being like, you know what? Yeah, like this, I need to figure some stuff out. And it wasn't even about doing that in like serial dating and like trying to live that portion of it, but it was very much about me letting go of this expectation of like who I was as a person and who I was in relationships, and realizing as well that like any sort of moment within that like so-called slut phase would actually just be like the band-aid I keep talking about. Is I wasn't ready for that sort of thing. I wasn't actually like fully opening up and ready to move on. I was just trying to distract myself. So it's definitely, yeah, all aspects of heartbreak are present in the EP.
Yeah. Wait, so it's not Sulfates. Okay, cool.
It's not. Noted. Sorry.
Let's dive into Super Spreader, because you say that you've got this line in there, you still ruin my life even though we don't talk anymore, which I think everyone can relate to. It is a classic.
Classic. And
obviously, people living in your head rent-free. How's this project help you find peace from your relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, it's just not even from the writing of it, that had a play in it for sure. But now as I'm performing it and like, really singing these songs with people as opposed to at people, it's made me feel a lot less alone in it and made me really realize that like, no, this is okay. And I definitely, yeah, that connection is the type of thing that's really helped. But writing these songs was so fun. Super Spreader, we wrote in 8 hours on Zoom. Wow. And it was so long. And that's also a song, it was unfinished for the longest time. And I wrote the bridge of it on a plane very randomly. Yeah, I just like, I think I sat with that song for so long, probably the longest of anything I've put out. And I really wanted to get it right and get the right emotions in there. But yeah, that song, You Still Ruin My Life Even Though We Don't Talk Anymore, that whole little line, that was originally the title. And that's way too long for a title.
Tell the 1975 that.
True. Yeah. No, and we love them. So no hate to long titles. Absolutely adore it. But that was a line that was like in my notes for probably 6 months leading up to writing it even. So yeah, that's something that had like lingered within me for a long time, and I had a lot to say about it, but
taken right out of Tumblr 2013. Yeah,
absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
That's no hate, that's a compliment.
It's like one of those like motivational quotes on like a beautiful background and like a cursive font. Like that's exactly the vibe.
Yeah, well, so okay, dramatic. So if the EP helped you put a full stop, kind of semicolon on that heartbreak, has that influenced how you go into new situations or relationships moving forwards, kind of knowing that you have the tools yourself to almost like therapize yourself? Has that made you feel braver?
Yeah, actually, I think it has. I mean, equally, that heartbreak didn't just like teach me a lot about like that person or sort of love in general, but I just learned so much about myself. I think for a long time I was really like back to back sort of in longer relationships, and I really like deeper connections, and that's something I've never really shied away from. And I think losing that in the sense where I did, where there was also no closure, like it was just really jarring. I had to really search for a long time within like myself and relearn and unlearn a lot of things about just like who I am and how far I've grown since the first time I was in a relationship, and actually like really look at a lot of this stuff. I think it's really easy to just like avoid it and not think about it and just like kind of live and do the thing. But for me, I really needed to sink into it. And all of this was happening at a time where I was really isolated in general. Like I was living in my uncle's basement. And the two people that I knew in Minneapolis were my uncle and my aunt and their dog. So and it was, you know, you couldn't go outside. So there was a lot of internalized, just like learning that happened in that time. And if the world were the same, you know, if the world were, had not sort of experienced that like huge collective trauma, there's so much I wouldn't have like experienced or like known about myself for sure. I wouldn't have taken the time to sit down with my like thoughts and emotions in the way that I have. So I definitely think I've like sort of built up and like gained more tools for like my emotional tool belt within how it comes to like how I now approach relationships with people and none of that's bad. It's all good. It's all a really positive thing. Cause I just have like a better expectation for what I'm capable of and what I can expect from other people too. And like, I mean, you can't really change anyone. And that's like something I really walk into things with in the back of my mind all the time.
I definitely, I mean, we often talk about like songwriting and music as being a form of therapy, but absolutely. Very rarely about actually like, if you are somebody like yourself who can make that stuff, the impact that that has on you and like your life experiences. I was interested in why Soulfates started the EP, because it's, I guess, like we've already answered the question in that the EP isn't linear because heartbreak isn't linear. But why did you decide to start the EP with that song, other than the fact that it's just a stone cold banger?
Yeah, it goes hard. It's because of the first line. Is it a Soulfates or is it a Band-Aid? I wanted to start it with that because I remember really feeling like halfway needed to come in the middle, and I wanted to paint this picture of me wanting to get out there and be bold and like remember who I am. And that's, you know, like the first two songs on the EP really feel that. But lyrically, the line, is it just a phase or is it a Band-Aid, is so funny to me, because by the end of the EP you realize it was all actually just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Like by the end of Over You, you're like, oh yeah, Band-Aid for sure. And I think that was why I thought it would be a really fun way to just like open up an EP, because I also, when I was writing it, the whole goal of it for me was to like be feeling that way, be like, oh, here I am, I'm ready, I'm doing it, I'm doing the thing, this is going great. And it's, you know, big energy. I'm really optimistic. And Soulfates as a song sounds super like fun, fruity, optimistic, kind of like rocky, I don't know, Olivia Rodrigo vibes. But the lyrics of it are actually really sad. When you, like, if I sit down with my guitar and like sing the song, it can be just sort of depressing, to be honest.
Yeah.
but it's really, I love that about it. And I think it also just like accidentally represents that like mask that I was really putting on in all those situations. And it's one of my favorite songs I've ever written. I think it's just fun and it doesn't take itself seriously. And I love that.
Yeah. Because repairing from heartbreak is much like a cake. It takes a combination of ingredients to truly get yourself to that place of recovery.
Totally.
This was me trying to link the video
into
this conversation. It looked like it was a lot of fun to make, but I'm interested in the creative process behind that one in particular, and what your environmental credentials were behind. I'm joking, but I'm
so
sure.
So true, though. Yeah. No, we actually ended up eating most of the cakes. It was great.
We'd love to hear that.
No, I'm not one for waste. But no, we. Can I actually tell you the truth about it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so funny to me because we planned the Soulfates video and the Your Internet Sucks video at the same time, and I had this huge, big, amazing idea for Your Internet Sucks, and I was so excited to film that video. And then I was like, oh, I'm running out of budget, I'm running out of ideas, we don't really know what we're gonna do yet for the Soulfates video. And my director friend just looked at me and he was like, what if we just bake? And I just was like, yeah, let's roll with it. I love this idea. And it was so easy to conceptualize. And it ended up being so perfect because here we were just like baking and trying to put stuff back together, but completely making a mess of it. And that's exactly what the song was. And it kind of like the universe sort of allowed all the stars to align there. And it was so fun to film. It felt so cathartic. It was both that and your Internet Sucks videos were just like so fun to like go hog wild with. It was really, they feel like sisters to me for sure. But I just like love it. And it was totally an accident. And I wish I could tell you there's like some bigger meaning and that it's a super deep thing, but like the song, it's not deep at all. And I think that's really fun.
Yeah. Well, looking forwards, you've got an amazing summer coming up, including playing Bowl on the Farm, which Bleachers, Holly Humberstone and Lizzie McAlpine headlining that. How are you feeling about that, but also just this upcoming summer?
I'm going to freak out for sure. Yeah. I think I played Barn on the Farm last year too, and it was like church for me. I mean, it was just so beautiful. Every single second of it. I had always heard that it was a magical festival, and I had no idea until I was like there to witness it. And it was even cooler just to be a part of it as well. And the team there are so kind and so good to me, and they were just amazing. So I cannot wait to be back, and I'm going to try and make it for the whole festival weekend and just kind of absorb it again. It's one of those like weekends that makes all of the crazy anything else in the music industry really worth it. So I'm really excited. And then just again to be spending so much time in the UK, I can't wait to like be back and be playing festivals and reaching new audiences and mostly just having fun at all of that. I didn't really go to a lot of festivals when I was living there, so it's fun to be able to return and like be playing them. Very wild. And it's really surreal. Like I can't even, my friends have already started sending me like photos of my name on like the Latitude poster and like the tube stations. And so I'm so excited to go and sort of see that for myself. And it's gonna be really fun. Yeah.
I mean, Barn on the Farm and Latitude are very different to some of the UK's other festival offerings. Totally. They are the nicest, like Latitude in particular, which I went to when I was younger, is like everybody's just such a good vibe, like
everyone's in like a good mood.
Yeah. There's like wellness. And then you go to like Reading and Leeds where they're setting their tents on fire. And so definitely, I think it's the nicer festivals in terms of and health and safety.
We're playing a lot of other festivals too that I just haven't ever experienced before. I'm really excited to be down at the Great Escape. I think that'll be fun. I love Brighton.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be doing live at Leeds and in the park. And I've not been back to Leeds since graduating. So I'm so excited. I think it's going to be really fun.
Without spilling or spoiling too much, what can fans expect from Bear between now and the end of the year?
I mean, I don't think I'm spoiling anything. I'm definitely working on new music right now, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's stuff that I love. And so hopefully a new collection of songs is in people's future. I mean, at least in mine. That would be great. But lots of touring for me. And I'll probably just continue to post little weird memes on the internet and have that be the case.
I think that's a really important part of just the modern media diet.
Memes.
And as I think there are two types of people in this world, people who post and people who consume memes. So as a consumer, not a poster, I thank you for the posting, because otherwise I'd be going hungry. So
just doing the Lord's work. So
Bear, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for chatting.
This is amazing. Thank you for having me.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.